We have a new sponsor to tell you about. We hope you support them. If you own a gun, you need a safe, period. There's no excuse not to keep your firearms out of the wrong hands. Sportsman Steel Safes. Visit Sportsman Steel Safes. They support Armed American Radio. Man, we need to support them. If you're in the market for a safe or you don't have one and you've been thinking about it, call my friend Matt at Sportsman Steel Safe at 888-681-4140. 888-681-4140. Tell him you're an Armed American Radio listener, and he will work up a special deal for you on the spot. And make sure to visit Sportsman Steel Safe at SportsmanSteelSafes.com. SportsmanSteelSafes.com. Again, if you're an Armed American Radio listener, they will provide special pricing specifically for you. Tell them you listen to the show. See you on the radio.
Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, live at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, 1280 AM, the Patriot booth. Thank you for bringing us here. Again, this is just the third time. Kevin Michalowski, managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, sits to my left and is with me for the remainder of the broadcast. Kevin, how are you?
Happy to be here. This is just great.
It's a lot of fun,
listening,
isn't it?
To Sheriff Clark. That was outstanding.
Absolutely fantastic. If you're just joining us, in the previous hour, we heard from Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, and then right after him, second half of that hour, you heard from Sheriff David Clark, Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. What an incredible, I'll tell you what, what a powerful voice he has become for the right to keep and bear arms, to defend your life. It's making a difference. Beating back Bloomberg and the money that he spent to oust him in that primary, I know he's very humble. He didn't want to take credit for it, but you were just smack on point when you said you got to take credit for it. It's your message.
It's his message, and he repeats it so eloquently. When he is a great speaker. We booked him to speak at the Concealed Carry Expo in May of 2015. Right. He'll be our keynote speaker at that event.
Looking forward to that. And, you know, we've got another great one on the line right now. We're going to go right to him. His time is flying out here at the fair, and that's John Lott. You know John Lott as famed economist, New York Times bestselling author, and the author, of course, of the More Guns, Less Crime, now in its third edition, a man who confounds the lies from the anti-gun left with facts, just straight up facts, Kevin, and it's hard to refute facts. John, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you.
Okay, I want to go right to Ferguson. I got to go here. Gun sales are soaring in Ferguson, Missouri, as you well know. The situation's on everybody's mind. The nation's race baiters and hustlers have converged on the town. I'm including Eric Holder in that description, by the way. Police overreaction in the form of militarization is a hot topic on the news. Obama has weighed in again, John, as he did in the Boston episode, the Trayvon Martin incident. And Eric Holder seems to have already picked sides. You've written extensively about this situation in the Daily Caller in an absolutely brilliant piece. Let's address it here and start with your piece, Violent Crime, Not Police Abuse, is the Real Threat to Black Americans. Incredibly well written. Take it away.
Well, thanks. Obviously everybody is concerned about what's happened there. I think there are two main points. One is people, as you're implying, kind of jumped ahead of where the facts were in terms of coming to a decision, what happened. And secondly, I guess I'm not as concerned about the militarization of police generally as a lot of people are. You know, we put police in dangerous situations, and a lot of this is material that protects them from harm, you know, whether it be bulletproof vests or helmets or riot shields or what have you, or even the types of vehicles that are being used. It doesn't concern me dramatically when you're talking about riot-type situations, to have the police be able to stand there and not be as concerned as they otherwise would have been in terms of, you know, the risks and damage that they face from doing that. But, you know, more broadly, what's touched this off, obviously, is the shooting of Michael Brown. But That has nothing to do with the militarization of police. Here you have at least the possibility, and, you know, we don't know yet, but and it's unsubstantiated. We just have anonymous sources in the media. But, you know, there seems like a reasonable chance that this individual, Brown, attacked the police officer, may have done real physical harm to him, and force the police officer to respond. As I said, we have to wait and see what the evidence shows. But if, in fact, that turns out to be the case, you know, you really can't blame the officer. In fact, one would expect that he did what he was supposed to do. But rather than, so it's a little bit amazing to me to see people get into high dungeon about this stuff before we know what's happened on it. But more importantly, what is you know, what is the biggest risks that African Americans face in this country? And the biggest risk isn't from police officers shooting people accidentally. That happens, but it's a pretty rare event. What the big concern is just the harm that happens to African Americans from blacks from crimes, and that is a sad situation that we have here. The black murder rate in the United States is about 6.5 times the murder rate for whites. And that overwhelmingly has to do with drug violence, drug gang violence. And so to me, the question is, what can we do in order to try to solve that, whether it be thinking about something as extreme as legalizing drugs so we take the profit out of gangs being formed in order to do this, just like the drop in murder rates that we saw when Prohibition was ended. Other things that we can do is to make it easier for people to be able to go and defend themselves. I mean, we have, if you live in Illinois and you want to get a concealed handgun permit, if you're somebody who lives in a high crime, violent urban areas like a lot of poor blacks do, it's going to cost you $700 to get the permit and the training required in order to do it, at least $650. That prices out a lot of people from having the option to be able to go and defend themselves.
It's an absolute barrier to entry.
I'd like to see being talked about.
John, to borrow a line from the good sheriff in the previous hour, he said when, you know, Bloomberg parachuted into Wisconsin, if I were to parachute into America today and turn the news on, I would think, based on the protests and the coverage that Ferguson is getting, that crimes committed against blacks by police officers are rampant in this country. That's the direction the news seems to be taking. Kevin, you're law enforcement. Tell us what your thoughts on this.
Yeah, and the discussion about militarization of the police department, I think you're absolutely right, John. When police officers finally do have to use force, we don't want to have a fair fight. We want to win. We have to win that fight because the public safety relies on it. But more importantly, to your point, I would have loved to seen the new Black Panther Party show up in Chicago and stand on the street corners and stop the drug deals rather than show up in Ferguson and make a big show of the event that happened. While tragic, one isolated event when we're looking at 50 or 60 people getting shot over a weekend in Chicago.
Yep.
Right. Well, I mean, people also have to ask the question, what does this equipment allow the police to do? And what it allows them to do largely is to be able to stand in place if they have to and not be as concerned as they otherwise would have been that they could be harmed themselves by anything from bricks to bullets or anything else that might be fired in their direction. You know, you want to make it so that the police can act judiciously. And one of the things that make that possible is if you afford them protection so they don't feel rushed into making decisions on things or have to respond in ways that if they're actually being physically threatened with violence.
It's disturbing to me to see the rush to judgment here in Ferguson and other incidents that occurred. You know, they're listening now to the Trayvon Martin case. You've got Sharpton and everybody popping in on this because they see an opportunity to exploit this for their own political gain. John, do you have a theory why they're not in Chicago, where we see 20 and 30 of these shootings a week, black-on-black crime? Why isn't this an issue in Chicago, for crying out loud?
Well, yeah, guess it's more difficult for them to make political hay against Democrats in a situation like that. I can only guess. But, I mean, generally, issues like gun control and what have you for somebody like Rahm Emanuel, they are failing. They're not using police properly in a place like Chicago. I mean, he's done lots of things from cutting the number of police officers to eliminating detective bureaus in the highest crime areas in the city. You know, I can understand why in the short run politically he can do those types of things. But if you want to go and reduce the overall crime, you're going to have to put your police resources where the crime rates are highest. And then when crime rates go up, after he's made those types of moves, I can understand why he doesn't want to take responsibility for that. And the easiest thing for him to go and do is to go and claim that some outside forces, in terms of not having enough gun control, things that he can't control, are responsible for the problems that are there.
It seems that that's backfiring. It seems that that tack is backfiring in them there. You can only hear Chief McCarthy blame gun control repeatedly so many times before, no matter what your position is, you begin to roll your eyes and think, really?
He's got the strongest gun laws in the country. Yeah, there's the highest crime.
That's beginning to resonate with people. John, we've got just a couple seconds before the break, so I'm going to set this up. When we come back, I'll let you answer it. But guns in the home is another area where gun control zealots go after the rights of law-abiding citizens by criminalizing the keeping of guns ready for the defense in the home. Again, you wrote another brilliant piece, this time in response to a letter to the editor of the Indianapolis Star by a Stephen Dunlop with Hoosiers concerned about gun violence. When we come back, I'll read his words and let you respond right after this on Armed American Radio from the Minnesota State Fair.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you, the most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
Firearm safety is as important as breathing. If you own a gun, you need a safe from Sportsman Steel Safes. Sportsman is an American family business making quality vaults for over 30 years. Give my friend Matt a call for the weekly special. Tell him I sent you and he'll work out a deal. 888-681-4140. That's 888-681-4140. Talk to Matt before you buy your next safe. 888-681-4140 and visit SportsmanSteelSafes.com.
Segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by G-Code Holsters. To carry your gun in a G-Code holster, visit tacticalholsters.com. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios at the Minnesota State Fair, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us. We are having one heck of a time. To my left at the table with me here out on the Midway, great breeze blowing. Kevin Michalowski, the managing editor, senior managing editor, I can call you, right? I can make up titles.
I'm the boss. He can make any title you want.
You know what a boss is, right? Yeah. The boss is the somebody who what does what? Manages people who work instead of protesting all day.
There you go. Okay. That's exactly it.
Congratulations.
All my people have jobs.
We are talking. Shanto had to chime in. I had to do that for Sean's benefit there.
The boss is the boss is the boss.
He is the boss. We are talking with John Lott. John Lott, of course, famed author. New York Times bestseller, More Guns, Less Crime. John, it's a pleasure to have you here. Indianapolis Star, Stephen Dunlop, with Hoosiers concerned about gun violence, wrote this in a recent editorial or letter to the editor. A recent review of several studies published in the Annals of Internal Medicine concluded a gun in the home increases the odds of someone in the home committing suicide by 224%, or of being killed in a homicide by 100%. People need to know a home with a gun is not a safer home. We need ways to decrease the risk, such as gun storage requirements. A public health approach focusing on how access to guns and features of guns influence gun violence has much to offer and has been used in many countries with decreases in firearm homicides and no increase in overall crime. As for John Lott, he says his more guns means less crime message has been discredited by many other researchers. I'll let you respond.
Thanks. Well, just as an aside, people can find the responses as well as other information by just going to our website, crimeresearch.org. But, you know, just to take the first point about risks in the home, you know, it's amazing how bad a lot of the public health research is. I could go on, and people who have read More Guns, Less Crime know some of the problems with the claim that's being made there. But here, if you take the deaths in the home, the homicides, if you have somebody who owns a gun in a home and they died in or near a home, then it's automatically assumed that that gun was used in the death. In fact, when academics have gone back and looked at the data, in one case, studied by Kellerman, they found that only 8 of the 44 deaths in the home in those cases could actually be attributed to the gun that was in the home. The other, 436 of the cases of the 444 were actually due to weapons being brought into the home from the outside. In fact, it gives you a pretty good reason why they should have had a gun in the home there. Fixing that one mistake in the data reverses the claims that are there. I mean, there are other things I didn't get into in the letter. For example, they're only counting it as a benefit when you actually go and kill the attacker in those places. In fact, that's incredibly rare. Fewer than one out of every 1,000 times that people use guns defensively is the attacker killed. Brandishing a gun accounts for virtually all the other cases that are there, and that's sufficient to cause a criminal to go break off an attack. But look, they miss another important thing, and that is even if they somehow got the cost right from owning guns, they ignore generally the benefits. That what you have is that when people have guns in the home, it makes it more difficult, riskier for criminals to attack. So you have fewer attacks that occur. And when you go and require that people have to lock up their guns, what you find is that the net effect is actually an increase in deaths because criminals become more emboldened to attack people in the home because people, one, are less likely to own guns, and two, even if they own them, they're not going to be as readily accessible to be able to be used. So criminals don't have as much to worry about. When they do attack people in the home, they're more successful.
John, I just took on NBC News the other day about the psychiatrist outside of Philadelphia who used his privately owned handgun to stop an active shooter inside the hospital grounds, inside the psychiatrist's office. And the reporter on NBC News said, well, my guess is that firearms at the hospital campus would make things a little bit less safe than more safe. And the task I took to them was, well, didn't they ask anybody whose life was saved by this doctor who, against policy, carried his firearm to work at the hospital and used it to stop an active shooter coming into the building? I don't think that we hear enough about that.
Ask them what? What did you want them to ask them?
I want them to ask the survivors if the guns made them less or more safe. Everyone talks about the people who are hurt or killed, but the doctor stopped an active shooter. He saved dozens of lives, countless lives. We don't know how many lives he saved. And no one asked those people.
Right. Well, I guess the general point that I would make is we allow permit holders to go and carry in all sorts of places around the country. We have well over 11 million concealed carry permit holders. That doesn't count the fact that not all the states have provided the data, as well as six states, you don't need to have a permit in order to carry. So the number of legally carrying people is much higher than that. But look, they're able to carry in grocery stores and movie theaters and restaurants and businesses and all sorts of places across the country. And yet we find these individuals being extremely law-abiding. The types of concerns that they might have for a permit holder behaving improperly with the gun is extremely rare. People lose their permits for any type of firearms-related violation at hundreds or thousands of one percentage point, and the vast majority of those are for fairly trivial violations. Permit holders are convicted of violations involving permits at a lower rate than police officers are for firearms-related violations. And so, when you debate these things about guns, it's often the possibilities that are brought up as a bad thing without actually looking at the data. And so I would just ask, provide me examples where these permit holders have created a problem. So you look at, we just had this conference that we sponsored with Students for Concealed Carry just the beginning of August. And one of the claims that's often brought up is, well, you just can't have permanent concealed handguns on college campuses because the student permit holders will, behave improperly. And yet we have 10 states that, to varying degrees, allow permanent concealed handguns, or essentially mandate that permanent concealed handguns be allowed on public university campuses if somebody has a permit. We have another 21 states that leave it up to the individual universities. And yet with all that experience, there's not one single example where a permit holder in one of these campuses has done anything wrong. So we can talk about these things that might possibly go wrong, but, if they can't provide examples with this, it seems like, to me, that's the strongest response to go and give there.
It certainly is. Hey, John.
Go ahead.
Even if there's only one person who thought their life was saved in the hospital situation, that will balance off, my guess.
If we can save one life, it's worth it.
Just one life. John, we're at the end of this segment. Thank you so much. As usual, we'll be talking to you on Armed American Radio very soon. CrimePreventionResearch.org, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
Crime Prevention Research Center.
CrimePreventionResearchCenter.org. CrimePreventionResearchCenter.org. Thank you, John Lott. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
You're at 23 May Bremis?
Yes. I told you on my last call. They're in my house. Where are you guys?
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com. NRAHQ.org.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and lightweight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WalterArms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
This This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
And so should you. Larry Pratt, great friend of this program, does amazing work at the Gun Owners of America. If you are not a member, ask yourself why. Part with a buck.
Yeah.
It's a buck. Speaking of a buck, evannappen.com, evannappen.com. And please, I beg you, donate as little as $1 to whatever you can to the Shanine Allen Legal Defense Fund. Unscripted, we had to go there just for a second. That just popped in. We need to continue to support her, and we are here at Armed American Radio. Welcome back to the program. We're live from the Minnesota State Fair. The weather has cooled off. The rain is gone. I've got two great friends sitting here at the table live on the mic with me. First, managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. He's the boss. That's Kevin Michalowski. Kevin, a pleasure.
Yeah, always happy to be here. Thank you very much for having me, Mark.
And we have that guy that shows up at the Minnesota State Fair whenever we're here. It's been 3 years now. For the last 4 years we've been here.
About four years ago.
And that's Michael Martin. Michael, of course, is the author, famed author, I'll say, of Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals. Michael, it's great to be here. Welcome to the show.
It is great for you to come back to my neck of the woods, Mark.
It is your neck of the woods. You know, earlier today he said it's going to be hot out today. And I said, well, hot, like cold, is a relative term. It's cold in Georgia at 55. When in reality, we know it's cold here in February at minus 55.
That's just a nice spring day at 55.
I think last time we had Mark up here, it was about 30 below, so this is a nice change for
Mark. It was actually 19 or 20 below zero, and the wind chill was about 40-something below. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. It was so crazy, it was fun. I actually enjoyed it. It was quite crisp.
That's
a good way to put it.
You know, what does a millennial call a guy like John Lott? You know, I say, I'll date myself, I say, John Lott, that guy is a walking encyclopedia. What does a millennial call him? That guy's a walking telephone Google machine? What do they call him?
I have no idea. I'm still trying to.
I feel like you're setting us up for a joke.
No, I'm just asking. And I know neither of you are millennials.
I can't get my head wrapped around that one. I'd have to ask my kids. I have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old. And they
a walking Siri.
Walking Siri. There you go. Yeah. I'll just say that he is absolutely incredible. And when you ask him a question, he rolls the numbers off. And it's very, very difficult to refute fact.
Absolutely.
And that's what he does. He talks fact. And you know, I talk to John so often. I talk to him, you know, at least once a week, if not once a day sometimes. And to hear some of the numbers come off, you can almost sense the frustration.
Yeah, well.
You know how it is. People, you know when you're right.
People don't listen. People, anti-gunners do not want to hear the facts. They don't want to hear the numbers. We've got a really great series in Concealed Carry Magazine that we've been running about active shooters, and it's not about magazine capacity. I mean, Michael, you did that. It's about time.
Yep. So one of the things I like doing is I like using the statistics that John has, and in fact, the anti-gun groups will use phrases like common sense, gun
We try to take that language back.
And unfortunately, their ideas are all too common, but they don't contain much sense. So I like using lots of numbers. So Kevin's right. One of the things I've been doing for the magazine for the last couple issues, in fact, we're running a three-part series, is looking at active shooters, and particularly looking at school shooters, and really trying to understand what causes these guys to tick and what's causing them to be able to kill so many people in a short amount of time. Now, of course, the anti-gun crowd says
access to an evil gun.
Yeah, right. It's the magazine capacities. It's something like an AR-15. So one of the things I did with Kevin is we looked at what does magazine capacity actually do for you. So we ran some numbers and tried to figure out with a 30-round magazine and a semi-automatic firearm like a sporting rifle, like an AR-15, how many rounds could you actually fire in a minute? And, you know, moderate rate of fire might be a couple rounds a minute, but I bet you guys could probably fire double that rate, three or four rounds a minute,
maybe.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But a moderate rate of fire is about 100 rounds a minute. So if the anti-gun crowd was right, they would be able to demonstrate that these active shooters were firing at a rate maybe that level or even above. You know what some of these guys are shooting at? You know, we talked about some of these shootings at places like Virginia Tech. That guy shot 15 rounds per minute. That's one round every 4 seconds. Adam Lanza at Sandy Hook fired one round every 2 seconds. That doesn't sound like a high rate of fire, and it doesn't sound like higher capacity magazines have anything to do with it. In fact, one of the comments I had in my last article was the anti-gun crowd says the rate of fire these guys are able to obtain is only obtainable because they're using military-grade and high-capacity firearms. The only military-grade firearm I found that advertised a rate of fire of 30 rounds per minute was the Henry rifle, which was the most popular rifle back in the Civil War 150 years ago, a lever-action firearm, and that You know, that tells us that magazine capacity and semi-automatics have nothing to do with what's causing
and
these
Kevin,
deaths.
And Kevin, law enforcement, you do a lot of training. Everybody at this table has done a lot of training. How fast can you change a magazine out in a tactical reload situation, well-trained?
Less than a second.
Less than a second. So when I put these numbers together, I looked at a three-second reload and one a couple rounds every minute. So that's 100 rounds a minute. You know, these guys are not depending on a high rate of fire. They're depending on, as Kevin said, time. These guys are depending upon uninterrupted time in a gun-free zone. In fact, the average active shooting is over in 5 to 9 minutes. And in that 5 to 9 minutes, that's all the time they need. When they hear the sirens coming, but they put a bullet in their head and it's over and we've got a lot of dead kids. So
yeah, immediate action against the aggressor is what will stop an active shooter. It's not about a 30-round magazine, or it's not about your Glock pistol or whatever else you want to say.
Let's go back and take back the language. Let's take back common sense. We know that to be common sense. So when we hear Shannon Watts from Everytown for Gun Safety say, we need common sense gun regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense says when we want to defend ourselves and we're the first line of defense, we need something, a tool to use to defend ourselves with. That's common sense. Common sense is not, as Sheriff Clark said, dialing 911, which is an overworked system, and mm-hmm. waiting for someone to show up.
Right.
You're going to die in that process.
Yeah, and I would add that we need a tool to defend ourselves immediately. That's what you need. I work as a sheriff's deputy in a county that is 906 square miles, and we have 5 sheriff deputies on duty. We had one officer fighting for 18 minutes before another officer could get to his side to help
him
out.
Well, but he's law enforcement. You know, he needs that. He goes after criminals. Yeah. I don't need that, do
well,
I?
Well, it would still take me 18 minutes to get across the northern tier of the county to help you out.
Yep.
So when we first started writing these articles, or I started pulling these together, the first question Kevin had for me is, well, before you put this set of articles together, are you going to talk about how people should be able to fight back? And I kind of laughed and I said, of course, I'm going to talk about that. In fact, that's really how this whole set of editorials was spawned, in a conversation with my 11-year-old son, Jack, who I think you've met a couple times, Mark.
Many times.
I asked Jack how they handle lockdowns at their school, and he explained that when they announced the lockdown, his teacher walks to the door, locks the door, walks to the window, covers the window, and they all gather on one side of the room. And I looked at Jack and I said, you all gather in a big pile, kind of like a big Target?
Yeah.
And Jack kind of laughed and he said, yeah, kind of like a big Target. Yeah. And I asked him what would happen if they heard the shooter in the school, and he didn't have an answer. There was no further steps to be taken. Mm-hmm. They would hope, honestly, that the shooter would go to somebody else's
classroom. This is also the dangerous part of this conversation, is the fact that the administrators don't want to have this conversation. They're afraid
Absolutely.
To talk to you about this conversation. Now, we have a case building in Georgia right now. The great attorney down there for Georgia Kerry, John Monroe. It's running now on the head of Fox News. It's still up on Fox News, I believe, as a lead story. Where the father is now, he's asked for permission, which he has, and Georgia allows him, the principal, to give him permission to carry his gun at the school functions, and he's been turned down. He's now suing because Georgia's new law, guns everywhere law, allows for him to do so. So we're going to see how that plays out in the courts. Yet again, a case in one state that's going to have significant ramifications for all of us everywhere.
We're going to force that conversation, is what I'm saying. And those answers aren't good. So part of the way I want to force the conversation is through education. I think the more we can educate teachers, administrators, any staff member at a school, and parents on the facts, you know, the more likely someone's going to stand up and hit the BS buzzer at the next PTA meeting where someone says it's the magazines, where it's this gun culture we live in. We need to have the facts out there and have them realize that the way we defend Rosie O'Donnell should be no different than the way we defend our kids.
And you know, you often hear the if it saves one life. We talked about active shooters in my children's school district, and it was a shelter-in-place sort of thing that we're all going to get into one corner of the room. And I pointed out that we had an open concept classroom. There were no doors on any of the classrooms.
Let's hope the wind doesn't take the roof off. I mean, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Hey, by the way, before we close this segment out, let me leave it with this before we go to a break. Hats off to Shannon and Moms Demand Action. Did you see their latest?
Yeah.
Hats off to these guys. They're getting very creative.
While we're
sitting here talking about safety and responsibility and teaching children and talking to men like John Lott, they're going after Kroger's for open carry. So hats off to those guys. Really love the efforts you're putting into it. Yeah. Get a life. Armed American Radio continues right after this. Read a book. Learn something, for crying out loud. It's reality. We're taking the language back. You don't own it. We do. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America.
and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Old Faithful holsters, designed to be as reliable as their Yellowstone National Park namesake. Made from the highest quality American leather and ultra-strong kydex, we use only the most durable materials available and put our 50-year warranty where our mouth is. Have a gun you'd love to carry but can't find a holster? Purchase one of our holster kits and build it yourself. To purchase a fully assembled holster for your carry gun or to build one yourself, visit oldfaithfulholsters.com now.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated, but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
To the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom. And you know what I forgot to mention? We have such a great lineup today. WGSO, Nolens, Louisiana. No, we went there in the beginning of the show, didn't we?
Yeah, we started out with that one.
Yeah, welcome to the program. Welcome, Nolens, Louisiana, and all surrounding communities. It's great to be filling your prescription for freedom. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure and an honor to be talking with you today about your right to keep and bear arms. I've got a great panel sitting here out at the table in a beautiful, cool breeze. Michael Martin, author of Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals, and Kevin Michalowski. I'm looking at Michael talking. Kevin Michalowski, too. It's confusing. First name, last name with a ski on the end of it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Your background would be what with a ski?
With ski, Polish.
Polish, okay. Polish. I thought so. Yes.
Did you just say whiskey?
No,
Polish?
No, just Polish.
Of course, Kevin Michalowski is the managing editor, the boss of Concealed Carry Magazine, and you can check them out. What website do you want to give for people?
Let's go to USCCA.com, and you can get everything you need there.
Everything you need, you can pick up Concealed Carry Magazine. How many subscribers now?
We are up to 122,000 people reading us 8 times a year. So.
I get the question all the time, when will you be in store shelves? My kids ask me that when we go into grocery stores, and they see every magazine but that.
We're not going to be in store shelves. We are a high-quality magazine, a premium magazine at a premium price, and if you want to come get it, if you're really serious about concealed carry and self-defense, you come to USCCA.com and you pick up Concealed Carry Magazine.
Now, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing, and well said, my friend. I have to tell you guys, regular listeners to the show have been listening to me for any length of time. Next weekend will be our fifth year. Next weekend, actually, April 26th was our fifth year as a radio program. September 1st will mark our fifth year in national syndication.
Congratulations.
Syndicated from a one-hour show from April to September, that's unheard of in broadcasting, and we continue to explode and welcome new radio stations across the country. That's huge. And you guys have been a big part of
it.
We
would have expected nothing less.
Absolutely. Well, I remember coming here to the fair, meeting you for the first time, having talked to you many times, but meeting you at the fair for the first time when you did the show.
Do you remember how many affiliates you had back then?
How many what?
How many stations you had back then?
I think it was about 25. 25 or 30.
What are we up to? 300 now or something?
Well, counting the cable radios, I think about 120 to 130 terrestrial affiliates in the
that's
cable.
That's a pretty good growth.
And it's continuing to blow. We are one of the fastest growing live radio programs in the nation, and we're very, very proud of that. Guys, people who listen to me for any length of time know my disdain for Al Gore and all things Al Gore. Al Gore, the wooden bot, right? Al Gore, the kleptoclimate maniac, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, David Kodria called me today, and I like to say that some of the best radio is the radio you never hear, but it's the conversations that we have with guests off air that we eventually bring to the
right.
air. Because some of that conversation we can't air.
A lot of what I say can't be aired.
I know, let's keep it that
way.
We
have a beeper we walk around with.
However, I say this because David Kodria, a regular contributor, called me today, and we literally were in stitches, gut laughing at about 10 o'clock this morning, Central Time, as we were preparing for this show. And he mentioned to me something about Al Gore that had me falling out. We're going to treat listeners to that in the next hour, and you guys will get a big kick out of it.
I always like making fun of Al Gore.
Well, you know, we like to make up our own words here. What you're going to hear about Al Gore in the next segment or the next hour is not a made-up word. It's a real word, and when you hear it, you'll fall down. So make sure you got cushions around you because this is really good stuff.
All right.
Coming up in the next hour, too, we've got Rob Pincus, who did a whirlwind tour up to Alaska. Drove 2,880 some miles, took him 5 days, got up there, checked into his hotel, and got a phone call from the producers at Fox News, who promptly took him to Fairbanks and flew him right back to Manhattan to be on Fox and Friends to talk about what? Safety, responsibility, how to responsibly keep a gun in the home if you have children. You know, I'll ask Rob if a representative of every town for gun safety or Moms Demand Action was there, helping him have that conversation. We'll get a first-hand account from
Rob. I ask that all the time. What have you done to make guns safer? When I talk to an anti-gun person, what have you done today to teach someone gun safety or to make firearms safer? And the answer is nothing. I yelled at some people, and I didn't like guns.
I moved to California or New York, and I'm going to move to Connecticut. That'll make it safe. It's safe.
I voted for Al Gore. Yeah.
Please don't tell me that. Get off the dais, brother. but it's going to be a really fun hour. It's been a huge 2 hours so far here at the fair, and it's great to be here. Things are quieting down now because it's the end of the day. We're going to continue to push it another hour because that's what we do on Armed American Radio.
Well, I can hear the main stage grandstand going on just over the way. There must be some rock and roll concert going on.
It's not Kiss, therefore it's not rock and roll. I'm going to get emails on that. I'm just kidding. Michael, what have you got cooking? Anything new besides the research that you're doing right now?
Yep. So you mentioned one of the things I've done is the book, Concealed Carry and Home Defense Fundamentals. But I kind of say that's my part-time job. My full-time job with the company is acting as the chief instructor for the USCCA. So we've got a lot of things cooking for that. Of course, Mark, I think you've been at most of our training that we've had for certified instructors. Kevin, you've been in all those. We took a break over the summer to kind of retool. In fact, I'd say the first 6 months was kind of a pilot program, but it was overwhelmingly successful. So the entire training cadre just spent 3 days off-site strategizing what's going to be happening for the rest of the year. So we're going to get our new schedule set up for the next...
Am I to understand part of that 3 days involved some sort of laser tag event?
It did, and well, yeah, yes, but that was still serious training. That was very, very serious off-site training.
Cert pistols, baby. Yeah. So how many members... How many instructors now certified by you and your
so we
part
have
of the organization?
Over 300 certified instructors that have been through our courses,
wow,
and over 2,000 instructors use our materials. So these are established instructors that just weren't happy with their materials or wanted to really up their game. So they bought our PowerPoint, our book, our videos that go along with that, and we've really upped their game. But 300 certified instructors we pulled together just in the first 6 months of the program. So we'll start putting together the end of 2014 and all of 2015 calendar for these certified courses. There's a lot of new, I'll say, surprises coming out, a lot of things that are really going to streamline the program and help us take it to the next level, including getting to the point that we have training counselors, that is people who can go out and run their own certified instructor courses. And these are not just instructors that we're teaching how to do a better course. These are guys that carry the USCCA name. They're certified instructors that carry the legal name of the USCCA, and that those certificates are now accepted in dozens of states, and we continue to work on more. So we're really making a lot of
headway. The USCCA, of course, the main sponsor for this program. Yep. We thank them for everything they're doing. Certified now or recognized by how many states?
Boy, I should have had those numbers.
You should have known I would have asked that.
I think we're upwards of about 26, but that doesn't mean all 50 states require some sort of national training organization certification.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is a great example that doesn't require training, yet a certified instructor in Pennsylvania is going to teach a great class.
Right.
The certificate doesn't have to go anywhere, though.
And this is just a long, drawn-out, terrible process. Imagine what it's like to get something through bureaucratically in Illinois. And that,
Believe it or not, we are a certified organization in Illinois.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's very important. That's very important with everything we see going on in Chicago, with all of the anti-gun rhetoric coming from Chicago, from the police chief, from Rahm Emanuel, from Washington. The violence occurring in Chicago on a weekly, almost daily basis, the horrific black-on-black crime that never seems to get but a blurb in the paper and ignored by the media. Meanwhile, who is it that's out there teaching gun safety? Yeah. Is every town helping you in Illinois? Are they working in conjunction with you?
If they were out there, I did not see them.
Yes.
What about Moms Demand Action?
I haven't heard from them
yet. Sorry, no, but they're going after Kroger's again for the open carry.
The interesting thing is I think if one of those individuals actually sat through our class, I think they'd be surprised because their impression is probably that we're teaching people how to pack guns and walk up and down the street and look for bad guys and shoot them in the back. We're teaching gun safety. We're teaching kids how to be safe around guns and how to protect yourself.
Situational awareness and conflict avoidance. That's what we teach. Those are the two basics.
Preparation, avoidance, and awareness. Safe, responsible gun ownership on your person and in the home. That's what we teach. That's what you guys teach, and you do a great job. You guys are going to stick around for us for the next hour. It's going to be a great time had by all. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Armed American Radio. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. Carry on, carry off, and carry everywhere. See you in just a couple minutes. Don't go away.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in you. Tell it to me by the clamor now, baby.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com, armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.